Good. Hold on, I almost said good morning. Just out of habit. Good evening, friends, and Merry Christmas. By the way, that's my comic relief. He'll be here all night. It is great to see you all, and as part of our HPC family tradition, we like to say, God is good
all the time.
And all the time.
God is good. And
it is a blessing to have you in worship with us this evening, and that you've chosen to share Christmas Eve with us as we celebrate the birth of the Son of God. Well, we come to this evening, and I know that, boy, it's just, there's been a lot going on, hasn't there? And then it just seemed like all of a sudden it's Thanksgiving, and Thanksgiving was a little late this year, and then rushed through the holiday season, then all of a sudden, we're here, right? And now we just need to get to that point of kind of centering ourselves to get ready for what is here. Because the time that we have now is different than it has been this entire last 4 weeks. Because now we're coming to celebrate. Now we're coming to worship. Now we're coming to be together. And so I thought we'd go ahead and begin, before we get to our call to worship, I have a video that I'd like for us to share to help kind of center us as part of being ready for this time of worship and recognizing how much we need the newborn child.
Christmas Eve, here we are. The shopping malls, the wish lists, and the online deliveries are all but behind us. The Christmas cards, the outdoor lights, and the wrapped presents are ready. And here we are now on Christmas Eve. And God, we turn toward you because we need you. We need you to give us the vision to see this child more clearly than ever before. We need your Spirit to help us experience him as grace and truth wrapped in humanity. Because in Jesus, you are displaying your love for the world. In him, you are proving your faithfulness to all generations, including ours. And here we are, God, surrendering, hoping, waiting, and leaning into the perfect love that our souls were created for. And we need you. So, Father, please meet us here on this Christmas Eve.
Are we ready to worship?
Yes.
Let's try this again. Are we ready to worship?
Yes.
Friends, let us stand for our call to worship. Christ is born. Give him glory. Christ has come down from heaven. Let's receive him. O you nations, praise him in joy, for he has been glorified.
Let us worship the newborn King of glory.
Friends, you may be seated. We're going to invite the McBean family forward to come and do the lighting of the Advent candle.
Good news of great joy, the angel said. For to you a Savior is born. Peace on earth, the choir sang, for God reigns in the highest. Follow me, the star beckoned, for hope was born in Bethlehem. Today, as we light the Christ candle, we watch for the Christmas story around us. Emmanuel has come and is coming. Come, all ye faithful, as we gather to worship God together. Because now, Emmanuel, God is with us, we light the Christ candle. Let us pray. All-powerful and unseen God, the coming of your light into our world has brightened weary hearts with peace. Teach us to proclaim the birth of your Son, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
And we invite you to stand for our next Christmas carol, 193 in your green hymnals, O Come, All Ye Faithful.
Oh,
And you may be seated. On Christmas Eve, in most Presbyterian churches, we have a special tradition. We have a special offering that is collected. It's called the Christmas Joy Offering. It's actually been being collected for almost 200 years. It is an offering that is meant to accomplish two tasks in our denomination. The first is to be able to help pay for theological training for students that may not be able to afford it on their own. And the second is to make sure that there is funding to help ministers that may find themselves in need and may not have the financial resources that they need. And so every Christmas, churches, Presbyterian churches around the nation take up this special offering for the Christmas Joy Offering. And you are under no obligation to participate, but if you would like to, this special offering that we do, we don't pass the offering plate at our church anymore. That was something that went away during COVID, but we do have an offering box that's in the back. And if you would like to contribute, you may do so by just pulling one of these envelopes, and if you want to stick a check in there and write Christmas Joy on it, stick it in the box on your way out this evening, you feel free to do that. Or if you want, you can go to our website, and under the giving page, you can go ahead and give on that, and all of the offerings that come this evening will then be sent to our denomination for the purpose of the Christmas Joy Offering. And so as we prepare in this time of giving, we have a special song that we like to sing, the doxology, that will then be followed by our prayer of dedication by Pastor Kelly. So I invite you to stand as you're able as we sing the doxology together.
Will you join me in praying this prayer of dedication over our giving? Merciful Father, we offer with joy and thanksgiving what you have first given us, ourselves, our time, and our possessions, signs of your gracious love. Receive them for the sake of him who offered himself for us, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
I want you to share the greeting of Christmas with those that are around you and take a moment to say Merry Christmas to the people that you're worshiping with this evening.
Earth as in heaven, right here in my heart. forgive the ones who sinned against us. Forgive them and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Let your kingdom come. Father, let your kingdom come. Father, let your will be done on earth as in heaven, right here in my heart. Father, let your kingdom come. Father, let your will be done on earth as in heaven, right here in my heart. Keep us this day our daily bread. Forgive us, as we forgive the ones who sinned against us. Forgive them, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one.
Walking in the darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of the government and the peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Please remain seated as we sing the carol, What Child Is This? You'll find it in your green hymnal, page 180.
Wash your bones, Lord.
Our second reading comes from Micah 5. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Therefore, Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor bears a son, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth.
John.
Our third reading comes from Luke chapter 1. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. But the virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of a greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled." And the angel left her. Please remain seated as we sing, O Come, Emmanuel," in your green hymnal 169.
Our fourth reading comes from Luke in the second chapter. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This is the first census that was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up to the town of Nazareth into Galilee of Judea to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room or no guest room available for them. We now invite the choir forward to come and share with us the next song, Mary's Little Boy Child.
To not dance on that one. Our fifth reading comes from Luke 2. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger.
Our sixth reading is Imagine by Rick McKinley. The creator of the cosmos chose from among his numberless galaxies and spinning stars one tiny rock of a planet onto which to enter human life in the most natural and self-effacing of ways, through the womb of an unwed teenage girl. His was one of many births that night, no doubt, but it was unique. God became a wailing, wrinkled newborn birthed onto the bloody straw of life on our sin-sick planet. Perhaps only the angels knew what they were really witnessing. Their voices rang through the heavens singing, "Glory to God in the highest! Glory to God for the gift of his Son! Glory to God for the cosmos dwarfing love that led to the birth of a king in a rough stable." There is a sense of prophetic mystery surrounding Christ's birth. The story reveals something divine to us. It drives our quest to look closely at our own stories. Who are we? Why are we? How are we? Where, in the midst of our questions, is this Emmanuel, this God with us? Please remain seated as we sing "It Came Upon a Midnight Clear" in your green hymnal 197.
Our seventh reading comes from Matthew 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. In Bethlehem of Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
Our eighth reading is a special reading. We like to try to include personal pieces in our worship services when we can, including artistic pieces that are created by some of our members or extended family. Christmas Snow was a poem written by Tracy Christensen, who was the niece of John and Tammy McVean. She had a gift, a talent of putting good theology and her love of the Lord to pen. And she wrote this poem shortly before her passing, a year and a half ago. And now she's graduated and enjoying Christmas with the Savior, but we have this blessing. Hear now the eighth reading of her poem, Christmas Snow, for us this evening. The snow gently falls on the face of the earth, reminding us of the meaning of his precious birth. The cleansing symbol of the snow so white, softly falling, touching all in its flight. All you have to do is open the door and let it in, and let its purity clear your sin. You may be afraid, but what risk is there here, bringing your heavenly Father so near? Once his love touches your life, it will help you through all of your greatest strife. So as the snow falls softly on Christmas Eve, remember, he is coming. It is time to believe. Amen. Let us remain seated for our next carol, 183, I Wonder as I Wander.
Our ninth reading comes from John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or of husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
It was a still, crisp night just over 2,000 years ago, not far from the big city of Jerusalem, where the temple of God and the palace of Herod the Great, the Roman puppet king, stood as opposing factions in the minds and the hearts of the people. In fact, it was just outside the small village 7 miles from Jerusalem, a village perched slightly up from the side of a rolling hill above the fields of Boaz. A perfect place where homes could be built nested into small inlet caves to provide protection for sheep and other livestock. The short distance from pen to field to graze was the perfect hillside perch to watch the animals from. Every day the family members would watch over the animals and care for them, and then every evening part of the family would trade off with some hired hands to do the night watch. These hired shepherds who would watch and over the animals to protect them through the dangers of the night while part of the family got to sleep. It was the lowest of the jobs available in this little village, usually not enough to make ends meet. But these hired shepherds knew that this was all they could get. But still they wondered, had God forgotten them in their struggles to survive? And then on that still, crisp night, their lives were changed forever. As they sat on the hillside staring into the northwest skies, because this night was different. A little boy who was born to a poor couple and a baby that was placed far from the warm rooms that the others laid their heads. Instead, the newborn Lamb of God was wrapped up and laid to rest in a lamb's feeding trough inside one of these hillside caves. And the first to receive the announcement of this heavenly birth were none other than those in society who were considered to be the lowest of the lowest of the low, the forgotten nighttime shepherds who could have no other job. The angel of the Lord appeared to them, and judging from the shepherds' stark white faces, told them, "Do not be afraid." For they had long believed if they saw an angel, it meant that your end of life was near at hand. Your new life was about to begin, though, is what they were being told. Quite the opposite message from these angels to the shepherds. For the Lamb of God, the promised Savior and Messiah, had just been born. And where? Right where you live and work. And as these lowly shepherds first heard the news, they ran to greet and meet him. Could this really be true? The angels were then joined by a heavenly army that praised God and pronounced the eternal blessing from the Lord. And afterwards, they got up. Now they know they can go and meet, hearts full of hope, to run and meet their Savior. and the rest of their lives, even after their life would return to normal, but their memories would always go back to that day in which things were different. It was a cold, crisp night just over 100 years ago in a sprawling field in Belgium where the trenches of the Great War were scarring the earth. German soldiers on one side, British soldiers sometimes as close as 100 feet on the other side. Between them, a no man's land where much of the tragedy of war had been occurring. In August of 1914, World War I, known as the Great War, had begun, with many of the major powers saying the war would be swift, promising the soldiers would be home by Christmas. But now it was Christmas Eve, and two things had become very clear to these poor and lowly soldiers. One, the war would not be swift, nor would they be home for Christmas. And so it was on Christmas Eve, 1914, that as the gunfire and artillery began to subside with the sunlight, singing could then be heard from the opposing trenches. Familiar Christmas carols being sung, in English on one side and German on the other. Throughout the night, the singing and lights from within the trenches continued, while others noticed the deafening sounds of war had for the moment stopped. And then as the sun came up on Christmas morning, with not a single gun having been fired and not one artillery shell having been launched, one German soldier clambered up from his trench and, unarmed, began to walk across the no man's land towards the British side. Quickly, a British soldier dropped his weapon and ran to meet his enemy. An intense conversation in different languages ensued with smiles on both soldiers' faces. Then more soldiers came up and joined them, and before long, the sworn enemies were exchanging gifts of food and cigarettes, Christmas carols together, and before the day was done, they were even playing a makeshift game of soccer with a large tin can. The famous Christmas Day Truce of 1914 happened without politicians or generals, without dignitaries or pronouncements. It began because Christmas Day is different. And for the lowly soldiers on both sides of that field in Belgium, they stood up with hearts full of hope, and they let the faith of their Savior take center stage. It was a day that they would never forget. No other day and no other reason could have done this, but that's because Christmas is the day in which things are different. Well, it's a cold, crisp night tonight. If you were lucky, you even got to see a few snowflakes falling this morning. And while many are sitting down for meals or hastily finishing their Christmas preparations, we find ourselves gathered in a worship service. What is so important that we would come together on this evening, sharing together our hearts filled with hope? Because we know that Christmas is a day in which things are different. It doesn't matter if we gather in this worship space every Sunday or once a year. The power of that hope is what draws us together this evening. God reached down and touched our lowly lives, letting us know that not only did the Creator of the universe care about us, but that God loved us and wanted to restore that broken relationship. And a fragile but holy baby, vulnerable yet perfect, was just the beginning. A birthday, yes, but a birthday that would change all other birthdays. A birthday that began the work of redemption, a Savior who would become the sacrificial lamb. A birthday that would yield the greatest gift of grace we could ever experience. For because of this miraculous birth, of the joining of humanity and divinity, our simple and lowly lives would no longer be measured in years, but by faith would be enveloped in eternity. No other day, no other reason could do this for us, except for the birth of the Savior of the world. But Christmas Day only has its power when those who believe step out in faith and hope and choose to make this day different in their lives. The shepherds were the first to receive the divine birth announcement, but then they chose to leave their posts to go and see for themselves the newborn Lamb of God and went away thanking and praising God. The soldiers in the trenches had to make a choice to rise up out of their foxholes with faith and hope, to meet in the middle with their sworn enemies and to share their humanity and praise God together in song. No matter how great or how simple our faith is, we gather this night because we know that Christmas is that day, the day in which things are different, and we too have an opportunity to share in the power of this special day. And so tonight and tomorrow, I encourage you to make sure that Christmas is different. Take a moment tonight and tomorrow with those that you love to thank God together for the gift of Christ, to say thanks in prayer for the way that God has touched each and every one of your lives. Tell God thank you for the ways in which your lives and your family are different because of this day of Christmas. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Will you join me in prayer? Emmanuel, we come to you on this Christmas Eve hopeful. We live in a world that aches for peace and groans for true joy. Our minds turn to those living in fear or deep grief this very day in the exact town you were born in, and we ache. We find ourselves longing for love to permeate because sometimes it just feels like the hate is so strong and so very loud. But today we are hopeful because peace, joy, and love broke into our world when you wrapped yourself in human skin and came to live among us. You modeled peace, sleeping first in a place intended for animals to feed, and years later in a boat, when all around you the storms of chaos swirled. Your cooing baby voice, even your hungry infant cries, were the sounds of heavenly peace breaking into our chaotic world. Peace came again through your calm and steady voice commanding the storms to be quiet, the storms that terrified your people. You modeled joy when you played with children and when you enabled the wedding festivities to continue by turning water into the finest of wines. You laughed and celebrated and hugged and healed. You showed us what love looks like when you made time for the unimportant eye contact with the outcasts, and when you healed those who were convinced that they would always be sick. You showed us how to live in our frail and vulnerable bodies, not despising your limitations, but embracing them, that they too might be used to point to the one who is limitless. And so this Christmas Eve night, we are hopeful. Because this is our story, a story of peace, a story of joy, and a story of unconditional love. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Amen.
Yeah, you all get to stay put for a minute. You don't get to go anywhere because you got to lead us in the next two songs, right? Well, friends, we want to make sure that everybody has their candles as we come to the time of we're going to be closing our service together. If you don't need a, or if you don't, if you do. Well, I was having this problem this morning. My excuse was it was early. Now my excuse is it's late. I can't talk. If you need a candle, if you don't have one, just raise your hand and ushers will come and make sure that they bring a candle to you. We want to make sure that everybody's got them. But here's how this is going to work. In a moment, we're going to begin singing Silent Night. And when we do, Pastor Kelly and I will head over to the Christ candle and light the Christ candle. And then we will begin by first lighting the candles of the choir, who will be leading us in Silent Night. And we're going to invite you all to join us. Once that happens, we're going to have the lights turned off, so that then we can watch the light continue to spread through the auditorium. Pastor Kelly and I will come down the center aisle, and for whoever is on the end here in the middle, just lean or tip your candle into our candle so that you can light yours, and then once yours is lit, keep it straight up, and then the person next to you can tip their candle into you, and you'll just keep doing that all the way across. Pastor Kelly and I will then loop around, and we'll get the people here on the outer edges as well. And friends, let's just continue to sing Silent Night until we're all done and we're all gathered here in the front, and then we'll finish. We'll close with a benediction, and then we will sing Joy to the World together, still while the lights are off, but our candles are lit, and then we will head out for the evening. Christ the Savior is born. For those of you who were here this morning, you got to see baby Asher be baptized into the family of God. But we are here this evening because of a child, not much, or a little smaller than this, that came into this world vulnerable, tiny, but full of hope. That just as every child that comes into this world reminds us of the hope that is to come, oh, and the curiosity as well. Woo-hoo. That because of a birth 2,000 years ago, we have the hope of eternity. Because of that birth, our lives have been changed for forever. Amen?
Amen.
And friends, this birth is what brings us joy. And it is a joy that we have, and it is a joy that we are commanded to share with one another. So let me close with this benediction, and then let us sing that joy to the world. May the newborn King go with us into the night and into Christmas Day, before us to show us the way, behind us to encourage us, beside us to befriend us, above us to watch over us, and within us to bring us peace, both this day and forevermore. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Let us stand together and sing joy to the Lord.
Hello. Sorry.